My parents were young parents, and we grew up knowing multiple generations of elders because of that. I grew up with a sense of closeness with all of my grandparents except for my maternal grandfather. I spent a lot of weekends, vacations, and holidays around my maternal grandmother, and once I was old enough to begin to inquire about my family history, I was often shut down about what it was like before and the reasons why my grandparents divorced. I quickly learned never to bring my grandfather up, because it was always clear that this was taboo in my family. Whatever darkness existed within that broken family unit clearly lingered. On the rare occasions my grandfather did make an appearance at family functions, it always seemed tense, especially between my grandma and his wife, Grandma Shirley. Raymond Blair Randolph Jr. has always been a bit of an enigma to me. I've only known him to be a man of few words, always driving a Cadillac, and a staunch and celebrated member of the fraternity of Alpha Phi Alpha Incorporated. About 8 years ago, I learned he was a civil rights activist as a member of the Richmond 34. He was an agitator in the fight for blacks to be given equal freedoms at Richmond's lunch counters and a participant in the freedom rides into Mississippi. And as a matter of fact, there's even a United States Supreme Court case bearing his name, Raymond B. Randolph et al. V. Virginia. Decided June 10, 1963, the court overturned the convictions of the Richmond 34 and allowed them to be seen as people and not convicts in the eyes of the state. All they had done was peacefully and nonviolently ride a bus into Mississippi in protest of the segregation of public transportation and the atrocities against blacks and advocates of blacks within the segregated South. His mugshot from his arrest from riding the bus into Jacksonville, Mississippi, is even up on the wall in an exhibit at the International Civil Rights Museum in the former Woolworths building in Greensboro, North Carolina. And there's even a commemorative mile marker in Richmond denoting he and the Richmond 34's accomplishments. All of this black United States history lives in my family, but I don't know the man for which this history belongs. Now, pushing 30, I want to know the truth about why my grandparents split, but even more than that, I just want to have a relationship with my grandfather.
Good afternoon, Randolph.
Hey, grandfather, this is Michael Anthony.
Michael Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good.
This is the first phone call I've ever initiated with my grandfather since I've been an adult. Because you can definitely tell because it is bumblingly awkward. Have I given you, or has anybody given you any updates about Carmen and I and what we're doing right now?
Run that by me again.
Sorry. Has anyone given you any updates as to what Carmen and I are doing right now, school-wise?
No. Actually, the last time I talked with you was back in June 2014.
Oh, okay. That's been quite some time. So I'm actually in a... I'm getting my MFA right now at Duke University.
What is an MFA?
Master's in Fine Arts. It lets you teach as a college professor. And it's a terminal degree. There's nothing higher than an MFA.
You don't have to listen closely to hear how I'm really concerned about my grandfather's opinion of me. But why?
Trying to leverage.
I never have known this man. What makes his opinion about my life so important? Shouldn't I only really be concerned with the opinions of people who have actually been a part of my life, even before I had a chance to choose them back?
I am Wilhelmina Lorraine Foster, and this is my reclaim name that I was born with. And I say reclaimed because after divorce, I didn't want to carry my married name any longer. Even though people warned me against it, but it was what I felt comfortable. I needed to rediscover Wilhelmina Lorraine Foster.
This is my grandma. She's been a part of my life since I can cognitively remember. All while I was young, my family would squish into our various family vehicles and ride up to see her in Martinsville, Virginia, just an hour and some change up the road from my home in Greensboro, North Carolina. On the day I interviewed her for her side of the story as to what happened to her marriage to my grandfather, I decided to relive my childhood a bit and drive up for a visit.
That's the strong cop on the beat that the government kept pointing to as proving that a Banking Royal Commission was unnecessary. Yep.
I have so many fond memories of this woman. She has literally helped me become the man I am today. She's bathed me, clothed me, corrected me, loved on me. And by no means is she perfect, but she's been a constant who, even in her own life's hardships, has been kind, loving, and supportive. So after years of pushing and pleading, when she finally decided to tell me what happened with my grandparents, I was definitely going to listen.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah. That's Sorry, one thing you have to remember. Catch the heavy door.
I forget that it always does that.
Yeah. So you briefly talk about the story of how you two met, but can you like briefly mention it? Can you tell me that story again?
How we met?
Yeah. You said you did the talent show, but tell me the story.
He was the upperclassman who was the recruiter for talent. And he walked in the room September 11, 1961, in the room where all the freshmen were. And I was looking at him, and I was sort of assessing him as a person. But when he said he was from New Haven, Connecticut, I just thought to myself, gee, that's a long way from Martinsville.
As my grandmother's story unfolded more, this notion of using marriage as a means of discovering oneself becomes very evident from both her and my grandfather.
Again, that talent show was the thing that sort of, again, brought us together. And by the end of the week, as I said, we were coming to the talent show celebration or the end of freshman week. And he asked me, what was I going to wear? And I said, I was going to wear something red. Mama had made me this red dress, and he wore a red blazer so that we could kind of match to come to this thing. But the thing that I didn't like about him is he was always so involved in so many things, not only for the fraternity, but he was also involved in the politics of the college, and he was always so busy with everything. And what happened is that, well, he called himself dancing, but it was some of the worst dancing I've ever seen, because I had learned how to dance. And I knew he did not know how to dance. All he knew how to do was to shake his rear end and just clap his hands and, shake around. And I just said, oh, my goodness, this man needs to learn how to dance. He didn't know how to dance.
My grandfather's throwing of himself headlong into his fraternity and his work would continue well into my grandmother and his marriage, creating a palpable tension.
Number one, I put myself through school driving an ice cream truck, so I sold ice cream.
I never knew that.
Being that the projects were part of my life, that's where I sold most of my ice cream in the projects. The projects never closed. So I would be selling ice cream, ringing my ice cream bill, 1 o'clock in the morning, because folks were standing out on the corner, just
hanging out,
either singing, talking, or just having a great time.
Right.
And one of the things that my dad taught me was a work ethic. So since I was paying my way through school, it was all about the money. I get my money first so I can pay my school bills, then we can do whatever.
What is interesting to me is that my grandfather's story about my grandmother and his divorce started out before they even seemed to have known each other. He was very much plagued by things that happened before my grandma.
So when I finished college and was supposed to go into the service, and certainly being drafted this week during the Vietnam War, because of my time spent in prison in Mississippi and in jail in Virginia, after I joined, and I joined the Air Force because I didn't want to go into the Army, when I had to step forward and the question was asked, had I ever been arrested? And certainly the answer was yes. And so therefore, I could not go into the service to fight for my country. And because of my time as a civil rights activist, Congress got involved because there were multiple students who were coming back from college who were drafted who couldn't go into the service. So it took Congress about 6 months to make the decision that these students would be able to go into the service. At that time, I was married and kind of trying to get established. So when I got that information that I could go into the service, I chose not to. My attitude was, hey, I came to you once, I was drafted, you told me to come, and then you shut the door in my face. So now you're saying I could go, I'm already established, right? So I'm not going. A lot of the kids went to Canada and went to various places, so they didn't have to go into the service, but they never came after me.
In his pursuit to get established, he did any job that would put food on the table and would go anywhere he had to.
Your grandfather has been a Fuller Brush salesman.
Cleaning products, door to door.
Encyclopedia salesman.
Encyclopedia Britannica.
He worked at Firestone store.
As a sales floor rep.
Bringing $67 home a week, and our rent was $63 a month. We didn't have much money. That summer, he got a job with the carnival, and he had two full-time jobs during the whole summer to work at the carnival and Firestone so that we could kind of piece things together to make ends meet.
And finally?
A company by the name of Bristol Myers Squibb, which at that time was one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world, was running an ad for a sales rep to cover the state of Connecticut. And so I interviewed with them took about 3 months of interviews before I was chosen for that position.
This job would be the one that proved to change his and my grandma's station in life.
The regional manager said as I was leaving, he said, "No, yeah, don't forget to pick up your new car." I said, "New car?" So what it was a brand new Chevrolet Impala company car. So I walked out of there with a new car, with an expense account, and working out of the New York office.
With Bristol Myers, my grandfather was bringing home all sorts of awards for his sales numbers, plus the corporate conferences made for lavish vacations.
Now, I joined them in December, and in January, the national sales meeting was in Hawaii, and you could take your wife. So, within 3 weeks of joining the company, we were laying on the beach in Hawaii.
Wow.
And then the next year it was in Puerto Rico and then the Bahamas and so forth and so on.
He was an outstanding salesperson. He was always winning prizes for all kinds of things. We won a dishwasher one time because he had top sales and, blankets, pots, and pans. I mean, just all kinds of prizes because he was such an excellent salesperson. He really was. Very competitive.